The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. Time to hit you with the crown topic of the day. And we started the show a couple hours ago talking about Joe Shane, who will address the media at 3 p.m. today. Nothing special going on other than it's the bye week. Normally for a general manager to speak out on the state of his team, but with the Giants and in the state that they're at, off that embarrassing loss on Sunday in Germany to the Panthers, and Dable speaking yesterday and not committing to Daniel Jones as the starting quarterback. There's a lot going on there, BT, where Joe Shane, you know, he's gonna answer some tough questions today, whether it's about his own future, the future of the head coach, the future of the quarterback situation. There's a lot to potentially come of Joe Shane speaking today. And look, to me, the one thing I'd like to hear when somebody asks him about his job status, I hope that Mara has given Shane and Dable the assurance that they will be back beyond the season, because it does impact how they would operate the remainder of this season, specific to the quarterback position, but just in general. I would be patient if I'm Mara. I hope that we hear that today from Shane.
Yeah, I mean, listen, don't try to turn the slop into a sausage sandwich. I mean, don't try to feed us something that nobody wants to try to ingest at this point, because the Giants season's been awful. So I think you look everybody in the eye. I think you come with transparency and accountability. I think you address some of the sloppiness. If the questions are fairly pointed, and they should be, and, you know, really well thought, and I anticipate that they will be, and the follow-ups are good, you're going to get answers. You're going to get a sense of, you know, how tolerant is he of what he's watched, whether it's, you know, Banks's regression just in terms of being seemingly interested in playing football, and even the nonsense with Neighbors and Jaden Daniels, the optics, not just about where they are record-wise, which obviously is the meat of it, you know, but the growth or the lack thereof, or even regression of certain players in certain spots. And I don't think, even if he got a behind-the-curtain stamp of approval from Mara, he's not going to give us that, so I'm not expecting that. I'd like to get a hint or two. If he's fully married to Dable, I'd like to know that.
Yeah,
he hired him. And I'd like to get, again, without burying Dable, clearly, because he did have a really good first year, I want to at least get somewhat of an honest assessment of the job he's done 3 years into it, or 2.5 years into it.
And I don't know if there's anything that could come out of today that would be great for Joe Shane. And as a matter of fact, I don't think that there is. But if he doesn't handle today well, and the questions aren't answered in the right way, then the groundswell could become louder that this guy ain't it. And, you know, you've seen that happen before with Joe Judge, where he kind of, and Joe Judge was a different extreme. I don't anticipate that from Joe Shane today, but he better strike the right chord. Otherwise, the calls will get louder for a change at the top with this regime.
And you brought that up earlier. I think it's a really interesting and astute point, because when he was hired, think about this. When you're hired by a team that's in a rough spell, you're thought to be the savior. So everybody's like, all right, they're coming from Buffalo. Here we go. And, you know, they presented themselves well. Dable, the blue collar guy, Shane, I say this affectionately, even though I know he's not a geek, but he presents himself as, I know he's intelligent, but that geek, like almost like Stearns, like, hey, he's going to figure things out. Buffalo's in good shape. It'll transfer here. Then they have a really good first year. And so they get even more equity based on top of hope. And then, you know, year two goes awry, but there's an understanding. Ah, your quarterback tore up his knee. Now the questions, now there's more of a consistency of tough questions. Now, and how he handles them very well might determine how he's perceived moving forward.
Especially off of Hard Knocks.
Like, yeah.
I don't think a lot of people, I thought he was fine on Hard Knocks. But again, I guess I was looking at it from a different perspective. I was looking at it from an entertainment perspective. I was surprised to see how much he leaned on his staff in making some of these decisions. I didn't get the feel from a guy who was in total command, you know, alpha male. And maybe there's a good thing about that. Like, you don't want just one voice and being the dominant, intimidating voice, not as a general manager. It was more of a collaborative effort.
Yep.
But I don't know if that, I think it did rub Giant fans, some Giant fans, the wrong way.
It did.
The way that he approaches things. So off of that, combined with the season, speaking today, where they're at as a franchise.
It's a big spot for him.
This is a big deal for Joe Shane coming up at 3 o'clock. The other thing that we discussed is Juan Soto. The Soto sweepstakes continue. Hoff was telling me before, I guess I didn't see this, the Red Sox are meeting with Soto as well, and they seem to be legit players. You were talking about the Blue Jays being involved and potentially 15-year deals. Hey, I don't care. I don't care who meets with them, how much money is going to be taking place, how many years. The Mets need them. The Yankees need them. Bottom line, one team is going to get them. One team isn't going to get them. Maybe both teams aren't going to get them. And if that's the case, then both teams are going to have hell to pay. He's the best free agent that we've seen in quite some time. He's available, young, prime of his career. The Mets need him because they need a star and want to get to that next level. The Yankees need him because they want to get back to where they were and beyond, meaning get to a World Series, but this time actually win it. I don't see how you could do that without Juan Soto.
They wouldn't have help to pay for me if he goes somewhere for 15 years, which I deem beyond cavalier at this point. I'd really like to watch Juan Soto finish his career as a Yankee and go down as an old-timer and put up 6 stats and wind up in Monument Park. That's a very plausible path. It very well might happen, and it might not. Now, where they will feel my wrath, and I think most people's wrath, because I do think that there's a bit of an undercurrent of acceptance, or at least the thought process of a secondary world without Juan Soto because of how bad and how sloppy the Yankees were, including Juan Soto, in some of the aspects of baseball in the postseason, catching the ball, throwing the ball on the bases, and he's somewhat culpable. Now, also, if he's not here and doesn't hit, the Yankees aren't even, they don't win the division. So yeah, you can make that point. I think as long as the Yankees are highly competitive in the 12 to 13 year term, and on the AAV and eventually the totality of the deal, they're like right there at 12 or 13 years. I'm fine with that. If this thing stretches to 15 years because the Mets are beyond desperate, or Toronto's beyond desperate to offset the strength of their dollar, or the different tax implications north of the border, then you could have them.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Let's get back to your calls. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. David is in Bridgewater, New Jersey. What's up, David?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great. What's up?
Good. I got two things for you. One is kind of fantasy land, since we're just at the end of my road here with the Giants as well. I said I was in agreement with you guys. I said if they lost that game, just leave them in Germany. Don't even let them come back. So I'm wondering, with the state of the Giants and state of the Jets, you know, Daniel Jones and I think Rodgers are showing that they're both absolutely worthless at this point. I wonder if you guys can like book me a fantasy trade where the Giants Jets swap quarterbacks to see if they would take each other's misery. Because you got one guy who can throw the ball and can't run. You got one guy who can run and can't throw.
Yeah, and neither guy can win, so it's a loss for each team. Pass.
Yeah, I mean, BT, you brought this up yesterday. Thanks for the call,
thanks,
David. Aaron Rodgers is the far better quarterback. I wouldn't want to see Daniel Jones. Me personally, I would not employ Daniel Jones to even be the third string quarterback on my roster. I just have no faith in Daniel Jones. Period. So I certainly don't want to see him starting next year for either of these teams, especially the Jets. Like, we've seen it with the Giants. We need to see it again with the Jets. Whereas with Rodgers, I feel like if the Jets were ready to move on from Rodgers, I would not be opposed to the Giants bringing in Rodgers for a year.
Rodgers to the Giants?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why?
If the Jets let him go, I was going to say, who's going to start next year for the Giants? You're going to start a rookie?
I mean, hopefully you draft somebody.
Okay, but
top
you're
going to
start
five.
The rookie? We're just saying before you're not going to start the rookie,
no,
right?
You probably don't start him, but there's always the way to go to a backup. Rodgers is going to suck the life out of the building.
No,
I
think Rodgers can be an elevator. He just can't do it for the Jets because they got crappy players.
Why can't he do it for the Giants with less talent?
I think they have a head coach in place that I believe in more than anything that we've seen with the Jets here.
Well, that's fair, but that's about it.
Olbrich. I just think Rodgers can still win some games if he's in a better spot. I think if you put Rodgers on the Giants this year, the Giants would have a far better record than what they do right now. Like, far better.
You want to tell me Rodgers to, let me think of a good situation here. I don't know if this is perfect. Let's say Tua got hurt, God forbid, again with his head. By the way, did you see him make that tackle on the pick where he actually got hit in the knee?
No, I did not see that, man, but he shouldn't be doing that.
Anyway, like if it was Tua, and he's out, and like, maybe he goes there because they have some offensive weapons. Go to the Giants. No, I mean, we can have fun. I'm not saying I'm not opposed to doing some fairy tale swaps on the to kill some time here with football.
I don't think it's a bad fit.
I think it's awful. Rodgers with the Giants. But here, amazingly, I actually think that Daniel Jones is okay for the Jets in this regard. Because you have to bake in expectation. And because the Jets didn't draft him, and because the Jets didn't give him a penny of that second contract, I know they would inherit some. The expectation's different. If you tell me right now, would I rather have Rodgers have Rodgers back next season? Let me really think about this and see if I really mean this. Rodgers back next season or a top three or top four quarterback in the draft and Daniel Jones as a backup on a restructured cheap deal for the Jets? I think I'd rather have choice B. You're not going to win with Rodgers, so I'm prepared to move on.
But why couldn't you just have Rodgers in that top quarterback?
Because I don't think he's going to play ball with the kid. I think Jones would be better. I just don't think he's going to play ball with the kid.
He tried to play ball with Zach Wilson. There's evidence that proves otherwise. I can hear that. I think it's a mistake. If I'm the Jets, I'd keep Rodgers. And if they don't, if I'm the Giants, I would go get Rodgers and have him be.
Imagine?
They're going to need a stop back quarterback.
They're not getting Rodgers.
I can. Look around the league. Like, do you think Seattle would want him? Rodgers?
I think Geno's close enough to Rodgers now that they would know. No.
So probably not.
No.
Right?
Okay, let's go through.
The Rams?
No, unless
Niners,
they trade Stafford. No.
Cardinals? No.
No.
Panthers? No.
No, not at this stage.
Saints?
With that defense, actually, I'll say no, but maybe.
They have Derek Carr there. Tampa Bay Bucks?
No.
Falcons?
No.
Bears?
No.
Packers?
No.
Vikings?
No. Not with the kid coming back next year. No problem.
Possible.
I'm going to actually say possible on that one. Vikings Darnold's regressing.
Wouldn't that be something?
Oh, God. Favre went there. Jets, come on.
Favre is
Book
a
it.
Fit.
He's a Viking.
It actually is a fit.
Keep playing the game.
Lions,
Vikings are circled. Nope.
I do think the Giants are a fit.
I don't. No way.
Giants are going to be looking for a stopgap quarterback to groom the next guy. Yep. Now, maybe unless they want to just start the young kid that they draft, okay, fine. But if you're looking to have a quarterback in place.
And then, Sal, think about this. Let's just, and we'll do the other teams in a minute. Let's just say the Giants actually engage in that thought process and somehow miraculously Rodgers is a Giant. And then they draft a guy in the top three or top four. They want to play him. Yeah. And then Rodgers is on McAfee and he's a backup and he's miserable. There's no way. If they leaned into that, they are idiots.
Not an ideal fit, maybe, because if Rodgers is going to commit, he's going to want at least 1 year. Hey, look, he may not have many options, but it's a fit. And of all the teams so far, we just went through all
the worst fit. I mean, outside of Carolina, maybe.
Dallas?
No.
Okay.
No, Dak contract, no.
Okay, Washington?
No.
Okay, Philadelphia?
No.
Right, so all the teams in the NFC.
Maybe two?
There were two. Giants are one of them. The Vikings
are
the Giants.
Well, for you, there's one. I'm not going Giants ain't on my list. No way.
But it's an actual, forget about whether you would do it. It's an actual fit of a team that would need a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I just don't see it.
Yeah, I don't think you want to see it, but it's a possibility.
I don't care because he stinks.
Vegas? They got to rebuild.
Honestly, maybe. Wait. What is different between Vegas and the Giants? It's the same thing. They both stink. They both need quarterbacks.
He's not going to Vegas where they're going to have probably a new head coach.
Giants might have a new coach.
No.
If
the Giants have a new head coach, then it's a different story. Then
okay, all right.
You.
So Raiders, I say maybe.
I would say no, it's not a good fit.
Go
Broncos?
No.
Okay. Chargers, Chiefs? No.
No.
Jacksonville?
No.
Okay, same thing. Titans?
They're not good enough to justify. They're going to draft their guy, so I'm going to say no.
All right. Colts?
No.
Browns?
That's an interesting one. They got a lot of talent. They got talent, man. Yeah.
So Cleveland, potentially, if it...
I'm going to put them on the list.
Pittsburgh?
No.
And that's it. And the Jets would be the other one. To me, the Jets...
What about Miami if Tua got hurt throughout that before?
Big if.
If he retires, God forbid.
I'll give you. So Miami...
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Miami, the Jets, Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. The Browns is a good one now that I really I like that Cleveland one.
Like, yeah, well, God, that would be a disaster, though. They just need to, again, strip it down and start from... I really think that maybe there's five potential fits for Rodgers.
Mm.
I think the Giants are one of them. GK, let's try again. GK is in Chestertown. What's up, GK?
Hey, guys. My sincerest apologies about that. I got to be better. Be ready for you guys.
It's all right, so, man. It's all good. It happens.
I got the tongue lash. Hi, too nice. So, I want to... talk first about the Yankees. So I want to preface this with, I know Cashman has a lifetime job at this point. I have now accepted that in the last couple weeks. I've seen it. So I'm going to say that to bring up this next point. This is making me think of Robinson Cano. And Robinson Cano, let me speak for a second, was the wrong move letting him go. It was the right move for about 5 minutes until we went and spent the money on Ellsbury, Brian Roberts, McCann, Beltran, you guys remember it.
Mm-hmm.
So it quickly became the wrong move. Because I would have rather had Robinson Cano over the last 10 years than all four of those players. Because
wow.
He still was good for 4 or 5 years. He still was good for 4 or 5 years after that.
Go ahead.
So it's given me this eerie similarity to that this year. And Christian Walker, good player, past his prime, he's 33, he's right-handed, everything that we just went through with Stanton and Judge, we need left-handed power.
Except that he's a great fielder. Don't ignore that. Except that he's a great first baseman. Good.
He is a great first. I can't take that away from the guy. But it's you know, you want your first baseman in Yankee Stadium to hit a few out in right field. Just loft them out there. Just a little flick of the wrist and get him out. But I say this all because Cashman, he's not going in. So what's the move forward? Can he eventually take over the franchise and be like president of the organization and then hire a GM? Because I used to think it was George who used to hire these players, but he used to act like, you know, if he had control of the franchise, he'd do it completely different and have all these young players, yada, yada, yada. And he got the keys and he didn't do it. He tried to do
what do you want him to do, GK? What do you want? We know the comp that you had here. So do you want the Yankees to go all in and get Soto?
No.
Oh.
You
want to go back to the same way that you just knocked? And letting the better player go and going with quantity over quality.
There's no doubting that he is better than everyone else, but I don't want to do either. If we are broken, we need to strip this down.
Stop.
We need to get a fresh, baseball mind.
You can't strip it down.
And it's not. Thank you for the call, GK. It's not going to happen.
There's no way.
We could go.
And by the way, if I thought that it needed to be stripped down, I would say that. I don't think it needs to be stripped down. I think that that's ridiculous.
Well, I said it a couple of years ago. So, I mean, I don't. At this point, they're in too deep. I would think they're closer to stripping it down than anything else, especially if you're telling me they're not getting back Soto.
Well, I don't know.
You either got to go all in or clean things up. Like, think of how many players, when we say strip it down, what does that mean?
Get rid of the dead weight, the Stantons, the DJs. I mean, that's what I think it means, right?
I want them to do that anyway. I mean, I wanted them to do it last year. So, all right, so they now no Rizzo nor Torres, so we're halfway there.
Yeah.
So LeMahieu, Stanton, now, but again, the money is potentially a sunk cost. That's why I'd be looking to save whatever I can. Move those guys if you can at all. Save whatever you can. Sunk cost, like the Mets did with Verlander and Scherzer, and it worked out great for them. If you can find a sucker, a taker for Giancarlo Stanton, and he agrees, see ya, and then you save whatever the money, and you also clear up some room. Like, okay, but look at all the young players that the Yankees are going to have anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is kind of, not stripping it down, but Wells, Volpe, potentially at first or third, Dominguez, who knows what else they do in it. Like, there's a lot of players.
I know, and that's appealing, provided they're good. Here's two names, or here's two reasons why you don't strip it down, as per the caller. One is Judge, one is Cole. If you have Judge in his prime and Cole in his prime, you don't strip anything
also,
down.
Also, those two, it's very fragile now as they get older, and Judge with his injured history, and Cole with the injury this year, I mean, are they still what they're going to be moving forward? I don't know. I mean, I still trust them. They don't have a choice but to, but I wouldn't be so sold on that.
Now time for Bold Face Lie, Bold Face Truth with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
Oh, yeah. All right, a little Bold Face Truth, Bold Face Lie for you on this Tuesday. What do you got for us today, huh?
All right, well, you guys have been talking about Juan Soto a lot, but this is an interesting one. All right, start with UBT.
Okay.
Bold Face Lie, Bold Face Truth. Juan Soto will not sign in New York.
I think that's a bold-faced lie. I think he's staying here. I think he's going to be either on the Yankees or the Mets. I do worry a little bit about Toronto. We've talked about that. Not concerned about Boston or the Giants or even the Dodgers. I think it's here or in Toronto, and if it's Toronto, it is a reckless offer that even Cohen might walk away from.
I'm confused by the question because you're like, it's double negatives there, no? Or maybe
no,
not doesn't.
It just he's well, not gonna sign, okay. Not signing in New York.
So you could have just said Juan Soto will sign in New York, and to that I would say bald faced truth. So I guess if you're saying he will not sign in New York, I would say that is a bald faced lie. I'm with BT. I think he's coming to the Mets. I mean, I don't know how many times I got to say it over the course of a year plus. Juan Soto will be a Met. I feel stronger about that now more than ever.
There's 30 teams. There's two of them in New York.
Yeah.
There's more likely he goes somewhere else. Just saying.
Is that? I think your math is off on that, Hoff. If there are 30 teams and two of them are in New York, how is it more likely that he would go somewhere else?
In general, there's more likely. There's 28 other teams.
Yeah, there's 28 or 30 other teams. What is it, 30 teams of base?
30 teams of base.
Yeah, there's 28 other landing spots, but he's not going to the A's or the Tigers.
We have two chances to get him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's another way to look at it.
So how is that not mathematically in our favor?
New York versus the field. You're taking New York is what you're saying.
Yes. Yes, I am taking New York.
We phrased that question several different ways and come to the same conclusion. He ain't leaving. Now you can't leave.
All right, what's number two?
All right, Sal, bald-faced lie, bald-faced truth. Igor Shesterkin will break the record for biggest contract for a goalie.
You know, I'm going to say yes. I think the Rangers do it. BT, I did this because we haven't talked Rangers at all so far. And we'll get into them at some point. So I did this on the WFAN Daily Podcast yesterday with Casey Hudson, who I could not recommend. She was fantastic, an NHL expert. And she actually said that she thinks the Rangers would be better off by not paying Igor. Similar to what you're saying for
Judge
Soto. Like, the cap restrictions, whatever, but paying the goalie a record amount, whatever, would be $11.5 million, and they have holes in front of them. It was hard to hear that info, but she's legit and was given that info. So I understand where she was coming from. I still think, I just can't imagine the Rangers letting him go or not giving him what he wants. So I think it is a bald face truth. He will break the record for goalies. Check it out, by the way, the WFAN Daily Podcast.
I'm going to say bold-faced truth as well. I mean, listen, I don't think the Rangers are playing great. I know they're winning here, but they're being outshot a lot, what, four of the last six? So their goalies are being put to the test
quite a bit. That was her point.
Okay, all right. See, you know. You should have had me on as a guest. You didn't need her. I mean, Shesterkin's been great, but Quick's had a couple of games where he's had like 35, 37 saves as well. So, listen, I just think that when you get one of those players, whether it's Ewing, whether it's Henrik Lundqvist at the Garden, he stays at the Garden.
I know, but it doesn't
bold-faced
mean
truth.
She also it doesn't mean that it's the right thing. Uh-huh. She also referenced Lundqvist, and like she's right, like, yeah, we had Lundqvist, that's great, but ultimately they never had enough to be a Stanley Cup winning team. Like the Panthers have a good goalie. Maybe Igor's better, but would you rather have their team or would you rather have
I don't know
the
anybody
goalie
on their team. I'm not sure.
No, me neither. By the way, which is why I had her on. By the way,
I take the results.
There is a huge game tonight at the Garden. Rangers hosting the Winnipeg Jets, who are 14-1.
Jets are crushing
it. Yeah, they're rolling.
It's the opposite of my Jets.
I was going to say a Jets team that I actually win. All right, Hoff, what do you got?
Speaking of the Jets, all right, 2025 NFL draft. The Giants and Jets will both be drafting in the top four. Bald-faced lie, bald-faced truth. BT.
It's a bald-faced lie. I think that the Giants have a very good chance to draw. You said top four, right?
Yeah, and why
top
four and not five?
Well, because in 2018, they did the same thing. So
okay, so he's connecting some threads here. Giants,
7 years ago.
Giants, very, very, very strong belief that they will. I don't think that the Jets will. The Jets will mess around, and they might beat the Colts or might beat Miami once if Miami's disinterested, even though they won last night. So, no, there's no way the Giants are picking, the Jets are going to pick four. Bald-faced lie.
When I think of it that way, like, what do the Jets do? I know they're going to run it with Rodgers, and he's going to play until he gets hurt, but, like, the reality is what good is winning any of these games going
to
do?
Nothing, which is why when I was saying yesterday that I want them to, you started yelling at me because I want them to lose.
You said you root for your team to lose. I'm just saying, like, there are many spots. Like, last year, I believe the Giants did the right thing by trying to win games. They're trying to build something. Mm-hmm. This year, and they were doing it in a different way. This year, like, we already know, now everybody knows, we've known, but now everybody knows Daniel Jones isn't it? There's nothing that can come good of winning games the rest of the way. I don't even want to hear about building a foundation. No. That happened last year, not now. And with the Jets, like, they're better off just blowing everything up, which is going to happen. There's going to be a new general manager, a new head coach. The quarterback's 40 years of age. Like, there's no purpose to watch the Jets the rest of the way. There's no purpose to having Rodgers play and try to win any of these games. But you're probably right. I mean, they're going to mess around and win a few games, meaningless
games. Six wins-ish.
I mean, right now the Giants are number two. They're tied with Jacksonville.
Okay.
But I guess tiebreakers, whatever.
Jets are what, 7 or 8, something like that?
Jets are eight.
Yeah.
Right there with the Panthers.
Oh, God. Now, the good thing for the Giants, and this is interesting, because the Jaguars, they're not taking a quarterback. So, now, I'm sure that they would trade out of that spot, and obviously somebody would be willing to trade with
Tennessee's going to take a quarterback.
No question. I think the
Cleveland's
Browns could
take a quarterback. Uh-huh. Yeah, Vegas, you were saying, right?
Vegas.
New Orleans, who knows?
I'm going to have some competition. Jets. I think the Jets could too.
I mean,
I think they should
try to trade up. Yeah.
I'm moving on from Rodgers. In case you can't. I'm done with Rodgers.
I know you're.
There's no going back. I'm out. It's over.
It sounds like, correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds like...
No, there's no killing going on. Don't start playing the
like
name on the podcast. No.
You've got the Unkillable podcast, but it sounds like you've been killed.
No, I've just moved on to a different chapter. Reading the book.
Can I just throw one second?
Throw whatever you want.
Dude, we did this 2 years ago when we got Aaron Rodgers. Hey, he could show Zach Wilson how to play quarterback.
Uh-huh.
This is actually the perfect timing. It's like the Jets suck. They're not winning anything. Draft the quarterback and Aaron Rodgers can show him what to do.
That's what I would do.
It's perfect.
But I would draft the quarterback. I just don't know if he's going to be as willing to eventually sit down.
And think about it. You bring in a real head coach, right? You bring in a real head coach trying to build the foundation of an organization. He talks with Rodgers and said, look, this is how it's going to be. We'd love to have you to be the guy for this year until we decide to go to the next guy. But this is what it is here. If you don't like it, go somewhere else.
Okay.
That's how I would do it. Now, let's say Rodgers is on board for doing that. He's got something to prove to New York, wants to groom fine. The Jets win some games next year while grooming the next quarterback. It's a better spot than the Giants, who are like, there's nobody there to groom the next quarterback.
Number one, do you think the Jets are going to really, truly hire an established winning coach?
They have to.
Okay, but do you think that they do? There's only two options, Vrabel or Belichick. Belichick ain't going there.
No.
I think the answer is no. I think they wind up with a coordinator or Gruden as well.
Yeah.
They probably go coordinator. Maybe bring back Rex,
maybe they trade for McVay. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, let's have Rex operate the transition to the 22-year-old quarterback eventually.
It's going to be great. I would want no part of Rex. I wanted Rex this year in the short term. I thought Rex could maybe make. I'm not hiring Rex and then having him be the guy for another 2 or 3 years.
But I ask you that question because I don't think that, and maybe I'm selling him short, maybe they finally do. I don't think they get that established head coach. And because I don't think they'll get the established head coach, they won't have the coach who's got the juice to actually pull the reins from Rodgers to say, okay, time to sit down, time for the young kid to play.
Yeah.
And that's where it gets all muddled, and I don't want to deal with it.
I get it. You want a clean slate.
I do. I do. BT. It didn't work out. What do you want me to say?
BT.
I was all for Rodgers. It didn't work, and I'm moving on.
I was all for it the first time. I would have made some changes going into last year. They doubled down, and predictably, they fell flat on their face yet again. BT and Sal back on the Fan. Right now, we're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast, Insider Calls, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise, Mayo, Game Day, B. Delicious. Unfortunately, Baldy, for New York football fans, the game days have been anything but delicious. It's been more atrocious. Let's start with the Jets. We talked about them last week with you going into this game. If they had a chance to save their season in Arizona, they got run out of the building. What'd you see from the Jets in Arizona?
Well, I saw one team that really executed well from the very beginning and very just simple execution and a quarterback that was razor hot that they couldn't disrupt at all in Kyler Murray. And, you know, the Jets, outside of that one drive in the third quarter, which they couldn't finish, never was able to really sustain any offense throughout the day. And, you know, anytime you can't find the end zone, it's a miserable day. And so that always falls on the quarterback. And they just have no explosion in their offense. They can't get a big play, like simple screen that, like, Arizona got one to James Conner, 44 yards, so they score and a couple plays later. They can't get any explosive plays in their offense, whether it's a long pass or a short pass, long run. They couldn't get any of that against Arizona.
Yeah. I mean, it was repulsive. I mean, it was just an atrocious, unacceptable effort. And I saw one of your videos, and you detailed the play where Rodgers rolled out a little bit to the right and basically, you know, missed his target in the end zone by a good two feet to the receiver's right. Just an awful throw. And, you know, you said it's a gimme. You got to have that one. Not even a great quarterback. An average quarterback has to make that play. So I wanted to save it for the show. My question is, did he not make that play because his mechanics are a mess or he's not as quick out of the pocket? Or, like, why didn't he make that throw? It was simple.
I know it was. And, you know, it was from Malachi Corley, who's a rookie, who hasn't played a lot. He looked really irritated at the end of the play, like Malachi did something wrong. But I can't put it on any of the receivers. I mean, he's in a dead spot in the zone. Aaron's on the move. Aaron's made that throw. He makes that throw 99 out of 100 times throughout any part of his career. And he's completely, like, there's just no excuse to miss it. I don't know what he did. I don't know if he thought the receiver was just going to stop in the middle there and he was thrown into a dead spot. It didn't look like any receiver for any reason would just come to a stop in the middle right there.
Yeah. Well, he also had miscommunication with Devontae Adams. I think he ran, the play that I'm talking about. They're not even on the same page.
Look, he targeted Devontae 13 times. He completed 6 passes. He threw to him like he'd never seen him before. these should be simple completions, a lot of them. But most of his completions were for 5 yards or 3 yards. Like, he couldn't get anything down the field on him at all. And that's the disturbing part. I mean, he threw the touchdown pass against Houston on Thursday night to him. You know, it was pretty easy, a fade route to him. He couldn't get any of that. Now, Arizona's defensive backs, you know, Garrett Williams, Max Melton, like, they're pretty good. Starling Thomas, they're pretty good. But this is supposed to be one of the elite connections in this league. And they couldn't beat any of those young corners down the field.
Is Aaron Rodgers washed up?
Well, he's in such a hurry to get rid of the football. I mean, it's a race to see if he can get out of the ball out of his hands in 2 yards, in 2 seconds right now. Like, he's telling you that he doesn't, A, trust the protection. When he does, he's not making great throws. I mean, he doesn't look like the guy that we're used to seeing or that we want to see. It's just too infrequent right now of great plays from him and plays that
quarterbacks are making around this league right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and listen, I want to do some Giants stuff as well, but I think we have to get to the most egregious aspect of the game on Sunday, because to me, when a quarterback makes a mistake like the one we just talked about, Rodgers with Corley in the end zone, generally born out of haste and rushing and trying to make something happen, not that it's completely forgivable, but it happens. Soft Gardner, is now making mistakes because his execution is atrocious and his effort is intermittent. What the heck happened to Gardner? Who is this guy?
I don't know. And DJ Reed, too.
Yes.
I mean, that interference in the end zone and DJ Reed. We're just, like, we always, defensive backs, like, you got to play with your feet. Like, you can't panic with the ball in the air in the end zone and run into the guy and think that it's not going to be called. It's always going to be called. Like, they're not making it, either one of them. I mean, there was a time when we thought, maybe this was the best tandem of corners in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Kyler just showed you that they're nowhere near that. Because Kyler just carved them all up. All right? So whether it was a tight end or Marvin Harrison or Michael Wilson, whoever. But, I mean, Sauce on the goal line, he's got a chance to make a tackle at the goal line. He just, like, he's not throwing his head in there to make that tackle. Like, either they've lost their confidence or they just don't believe in their ability right now. But they're nowhere near where they once were. And there was a time last year when Sauce was the highest-rated corner in this league. He doesn't get interceptions like a lot of guys. But if you're not giving up touchdowns, you can live with that. Now, like, it's completely reversed. And it's a shame because I think they're still both talented players.
Mm-hmm.
But they're playing the game right now. They're not playing the game the right way. There's technique that you got to have where you just can't panic with the ball in the air. And both of them are doing that.
Yeah, but just a quick follow-up. I'm sorry, Sal, but like, it's odd for a radio host to ask the question. I get this. But, like, is Gardner just too physically weak to be a good tackler?
Well, we saw him jump on the back of Trey McBride on the crossing route, and he just threw him all right off him. You know? I mean, like, that should be a tackle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. I don't think he's too weak. I've seen him make tackles before. Like, there's just no way any tight end, I don't care if it's Gronkowski, should just be able to just throw you off the back. He's 6'3", he's 200 pounds. There's, like, get him to the ground. Like, that was a big play. It was a third down play.
He went
for 25. It was a huge play right there. Like, get off the field.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's, like, you know, Rex Ryan used to say, I don't care if my corner's tackle. I got nine other guys to make a tackle. Well, I'm sorry. On third down, make the tackle, get off the field, give your offense a chance.
Boy, Rex would fit right in with those comments, Baldy. Speaking of which, what would you do? Well, I mean, if you like the team that can't tackle, here you go. What would you do if you're the Jets? How do they fix it? Like, who's the guy that they're going to hire? You're blowing this up, I'm assuming, and doing what in the offseason?
Well, I mean, look, Arizona was a dreadful organization. They hired Jonathan Gannon. They're 6-2 right now with a young roster. They're 6-4 in first place in that division. Like, they've turned it around. Tyler Murray was a guy that everybody said, oh, he doesn't study, he plays video games, blah, blah, blah. Like, the guy's playing, he's not turning it over. He's playing great. Something's happening. He's got two very young coordinators. Nick Rallis is 31 years old, the defensive coordinator. Like, he's hired young coordinators, and they're, I don't know, it looks like they're turning it around to me. You know, so who thought Jonathan Gannon, a defensive guy from Philadelphia, you know, has been around this league a little bit, like, is doing this in Arizona where there isn't a great fan base, they don't spend a lot of money, but they're believing in them. They're playing good, solid football. They put an offensive line together. They run the ball very well. You know, they're doing it with a 5'10" quarterback that said, you know, everybody said he can't win from the pocket. He can't do this. Well, I don't know. I mean, the Jets would take a 6-4 record right now.
Yeah, the problem is,
so there's guys out there. You can do your homework. I mean, there's guys out there.
Yeah,
can coach.
New York's a different animal, you know. That, and the Jets
I agree.
So many times we've seen it fail where they hire these inexperienced first-time head coaches. It just hasn't worked. They try with the experienced quarterback and bring in all the talent.
Yeah.
It hasn't worked. I mean, they need the Bill Parcells type. Unfortunately, he's not out there. And the one that is, Belichick, is likely not going to come here. They're a freaking mess, as are the Giants. And, I mean, what do you make of this Giants mess? Like, that is as embarrassing a loss. This team has had some bad losses. It doesn't get any worse than that. Losing in Germany to the Carolina Panthers, you're blaming the quarterback or the head coach, a combination. Where are you at with the Giants?
Well, the quarterback is, you know, I mean, you could draw up all the plays you want, and they drew up some good plays, but the quarterback has to play better. We said this many times before. I mean, the interceptions are just killers.
I mean, first of all, the second interception, I mean, they're inside the 10-yard line. It's 3rd and 7. Why are they throwing an out route for a yard? Like, we've seen too many coaches for the Giants do this, you know, I mean, since their glory days of 2011. Like, throw the ball to the end zone. You've got the field goal in your back pocket. Like, take the shot to the end zone to Malik Nabers. They ran, you can't simplify it anymore. They ran mirrored routes. I know it looks like Tracy dropped the ball. It wasn't a good throw. It gets intercepted on the out route. But, I mean, honestly, and you can put it on Tracy if you want, but like, take the shot to the end zone. Like, stand in there and make a big-time throw. And, you know, that was a chance to score, take the lead right there. That was, you know, that's on the quarterback. They ran a flea flicker right there, the throwback from Singletary back to Daniel Jones. He's got Wandale Robinson wide open. Just take the throw. It's a touchdown to Wandale.
Yep.
Instead, you sit on, you hold it, and you take a sack. Like, those plays, the quarterback, I'm sorry, you can draw up all the plays you want. You could be Belichick or Parcells. But if your quarterback doesn't see it and doesn't make the play, then, you know, you're punting or you're turning it over, your defense is out there.
No, he's just not good enough. So we all know this. So to further the conversation, Joe Shane's going to speak in a couple of hours, kind of a State of the Giants address here. And nobody scours film like you. So, you know, I mean, based on the rest of the league, how would you assess the talent level top to bottom that Joe Shane has brought in? Keep in mind, many of the better players are from Gettleman's regime, starting with Dexter Lawrence and Andrew Thomas. So what kind of job has he done for you?
Well, I mean, Kayvon Thibodeau's hurt. Evan Neal played last week, but nobody would think that he was, you know, the seventh pick in the draft by watching him play. You know, when you miss on a pick like that, you overspend in free agency to get Illuminar, who's played well for him.
Mm-hmm.
You overspend for John Runyon, who's played well for them. But that's the problem. If you miss on these draft picks, this is what you're doing. You're going into free agency and you're overspending, or you're giving up assets to go get guys. You know, Deontay Banks, like, you know, look, he was one of the top corners taken in this draft. Like, what's he doing? What impact is he making right now? And you can go through these draft picks. Tyrone Tracy looks like a really good pick. It's been hit or miss, but honestly, it's not enough good picks. You had to go overspend for Okereke at middle linebacker because you can't find one, you can't draft one. I don't know. Like, they've missed it a lot right now.
Well, Boldy, let me put it this way here. Let's say that you were ownership, right, and you're evaluating everything, all the good, the bad, the injuries, everything. You know, right now, with some games to play, are you absolutely committed to bringing back the GM and the head coach?
I wouldn't be absolutely committed to it. I mean, I like Brian and I like Joe personally, but, you know, this is about getting the team on track. Like, look, they're one of the five worst teams in this league right now. They beat themselves. More games are lost than won every week in this league, and they're losing games because of their own mistakes. And so that's on the coach now. You can only do so many things to the quarterback, but it's not all just the quarterback either. So I see effort errors. I see horrible tackling across the board. Like, I'm sorry. Like, the penalties are killers. Pre-snap penalties that they had made, the offsides, those kind of things are on coaching. I know the Mara family is, you know, generally pretty patient, but I don't know. If you're a Giants fan and you're in the 100th anniversary of this proud organization with 4 Super Bowls, it's hard to say this is we can win with this going forward. Like, I don't know how you could say that to any good, great fan of the Giants right now.
Inside Calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. You know, Baldy, you and I, we don't have a lot in common. Like, you play in the NFL. I didn't. You're big and strong.
Yeah.
I'm not. You're tough and rich. I am not. But you did do a game with Jerry Recco, and I did as well.
Yes.
What was that like working that game with Recco in Tampa on Sunday?
Recco's a rock star, man. He's great. He's really great. It was a good game. You know, we were down the field. We saw Brady down the field. We talked to all the coaches and players. He was right there by my side. He was awesome. You know, the game came down to, you know, some missed field goals and some, you know, some big plays or whatever. And he got excited when it was time to get excited.
set me up, gave me plenty of room. We had a great time. Jerry was the second game I've done with Jerry. I would do a game anywhere in the world with the guy, man. He was great.
Yeah. Some endorsement right there. Now, Recco's awesome. Great job.
Love to hear that. I was like, wow, look at me. I was an analyst for Jerry. And now we were doing Columbia football, Baldy. Not quite the NFL, but you step in into the NFL.
Hey, look, whether you're in Tampa and you're seeing the 49ers and the Buccaneers and, you know, the Buccaneers got a couple world championships to their name, or you're in Columbia up there in the Bronx, who cares? Football. Yeah. Let's get the fans excited about it.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, Baldy, around here, we might be more excited about Columbia than the Jets and the Giants. I mean, they stink. All right, next time we have you, we'll go more on the league. We got a big Thursday night game. Looking forward to that with the Washington Commanders and the Eagles. So there's that. You know, you get the Bills and Chiefs coming up. But next week, we'll talk more around the league, Baldy. We appreciate the time.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys. You bet. I'll talk to you
next
week.
Thanks, brother.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast, Insider Calls, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. I mean, we're just trying to put a wrap. You got
real fast. Yeah. What were the years that you did the Columbia with Jerry?
Jeez.
I just want to see the records.
2010.
All right, 2010. They were, all right, not bad, but, you know, 4-6.
They had
Norris Wilson, the coach.
Yes,
that sound
Norris,
right?
Norris Wilson, yes.
Norris, pardon me. So 4-6.
He might have gotten fired the year after that. I did it like
Pete Mangorian came in,
and that's where it got bad. Pete Mangorian was a former offensive coordinator under Dan Reeves with the Falcons. He was in the NFL. He was with the Patriots for a while.
Oh, you must have talked to Zero about those old Falcon teams.
Yeah, I did.
Jeez.
But he was the guy that wanted to, because during one of the games they were getting blown out, like, I'm telling you the truth, like 60-0 at halftime.
Oh, God.
And I was Jerry and I were like, we weren't really ripping the team, but we're like, what are we going to talk about? The next week in our meeting with the coach, he's like, he on like the tape, he had an issue with something that I said during the game. And I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, I didn't say this because back, you know, it was a long time ago. I wasn't as confident
Plus
as I am
you're
now.
Working for the team. Yeah, right. It's an interesting spot. I got you. What do you say?
I'm thinking to myself, Pete, like, you're worried about what I'm saying on a broadcast that only Columbia alum is listening to.
Yeah, parents.
About your team that's getting pasted by 70 points. You're worried about what I'm saying? It had, like, maybe you aren't the right guy for the job. Then he got fired. They went through a couple of winless years.
Well, Pete Mangorian, he started 3-7, right, after Norris Wilson was 1-9. Yeah. Then he went 3-7. Then he went 0-10. Then he went 0-10. And then Al Bagnoli.
Yeah, Al's a legendary Ivy League coach.
Got a long run. Had an 8-win season back in 2017, 6-4 in 2018.
Yeah, it was about Al by then, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but boy, you had a couple donuts for him. I don't know. Sal didn't exactly bring the mojo for the Lions. I think it's your fault.
Compare that to some of the Jets and Giants records over this last decade. All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.